You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, it is an exciting day. I want to welcome you to Panel Sunday. Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Our theme this year in our church is making disciples. And that is a process. That's not an instant event. Now, to explain how this process works, Jesus gave us a teaching on this in the midst of one of the most powerful miracles that we have recorded. Now, just follow me down through John chapter 11. We read about a man, Lazarus. He got sick, had two sisters, Mary and Martha. They sent a message, Jesus, come and heal him. And like always, God doesn't do what we tell him to do. He didn't operate on our time schedule. God doesn't come when he was supposed to come. God didn't respond like he should have responded. Verse 17, God's 4 days late. 4 days late, Lazarus done died. Church, it would be a game changer for us if we could trust God.
That's right.
You know, if we could ever just trust God with his timing for our life, God's got this under control. He's got our life in the palm of his hand. Verse 21, just like we do, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have just done what I told you to do, Lord, if you'd have just been here, then look, clearly in her mind, Jesus, you fumbled the ball big time. But because if you'd have done it, see, I had this lined out. If you'd have done what I told you to do, when I told you to do it, we wouldn't be here, but too late now. Verse 23, Jesus says, Martha, I got this. Martha, I got this. And like us, well, I know everything's going to be okay in the resurrection. I know when we get to heaven. I know. See, but Jesus, you're not understanding. You fumbled the ball right here. You didn't do what you should have done. Now, like verse 32, because Martha can't let it go. She's got to get her 2 cents in here. Lord, if you had only done what you should have done. Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing, a deep anger welled up inside him. You can imagine how frustrated he had to get with his disciples and with folks. After all he'd done, after all he's been teaching them, look, just trust me. Put your trust in the Lord, period. Just trust me. All right, here we go. Here's the lesson. Jesus walks to the tomb. In verse 43, Lazarus come out. Now, here is the teaching of this process and how this works on making disciples. Verse 44. The dead man came out, but now this is interesting. His hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Now that would be what we would refer to as a mummy. He's wrapped up. Now, Jesus is powerful enough to raise this guy from the dead. Why didn't he come out with his teeth brushed? Sharp looking clothes on. Now this is interesting because we got to see this. He comes out and he's wrapped up like a mummy. Now follow this. Being saved, because the church has a hard time getting this. Being saved. A new life coming into you. Being born again is an instant event. Lazarus didn't do anything to get it. He didn't do anything to earn it. He didn't do anything for it. He didn't help Jesus anyway. He was dead and powerless. He was dead. He was dead, and Jesus called life into him, and he was born again. Not one thing Lazarus did about that except just walked out. Now, that is the picture of our salvation, but it's very interesting. He doesn't walk out clean, whole, and ready to go. Making disciples, getting the old grave clothes, the carryovers of the dead grave. Now, get this. Number one is a process. Number two, very interesting, it requires those around us.
That's right.
You don't do this on your own. Yeah. It requires those all. That's what we're doing here today. That's what we do for each other. That is the process. And here today to discuss this process with me, I happen to be the luckiest guy in the building. Some of you old guys out there are wishing you were in my seat today. I'm surrounded by good-looking women on the stage with me, Kim Taylor, Melissa Glenn, Sarah Barnett, and I've asked these girls to come and let's discuss this process. Now, there's a couple of questions in my mind. Number one, what are grave clothes? And number two, how do we get those off? Kim, start us out with this.
Well, when I was starting to try to get my thoughts together, I needed a better understanding of what grave clothes actually were. So, you know, I went back to the source, went to Webster's, looked it up, and the definition just intrigued me so much. There was so much power there. It says, grave clothes are strips of cheap white linen cloth used to wrap the body with various spices to cover some of the strong odor of a decaying body in the grave.
Well, that's a sermon. Wow. Uh-huh.
Yes, and so obviously, you know, we are, we die to ourselves and we are raised in Christ. We're not dying physically. But here's a scripture to kind of back that up. It says, this is Romans 6:1, says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And so, I mean, that's letting us know that once we have died to sin, there is still more that has to happen there.
Yeah. And just like a practical, to describe what that looks like, practically, a great scripture is Ephesians 4:17 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And so, you know, I thought that I had a pretty good handle on all of that, on the whole grave clothes situation, until 6 years ago when I birthed a child and had kids. And so now they're bringing up all kinds of anger and harsh bitterness and my short temper that I thought was gone. And so things are always going to come up that's going to tempt your flesh to respond like you would have responded before you took the grave clothes off. And so for me, daily, practically, when I wake up in the morning and picking up my cross, what that looks like is knowing that whenever my kids spill an entire container of Nesquik in the kitchen and then lick it off the floor, that I can decide in that moment how I'm going to respond, like the old me or the new me. And the second part to that verse was, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven us. And so that's like, it's a really fun and sweet scripture to read until I have to apply it to a tough situation. But when I died to myself and when I was resurrected with Christ, my short temper went with it. When I took the grave clothes off of bitterness and hate and anger, that went with it and it stayed gone. So to say that I'm a new creation but then still respond like I did before, I have to wonder, am I still walking dressed like a dead man? Or did I
That's
take that
so
off
good.
And walk as a new creation in
that
Christ?
That is so good.
Good.
That's encouraging too. Just going back to the idea that it's not an instant thing. Yeah. Salvation is instant. I'm positionally righteous and holy before the Lord. But that's a process.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like, kind of like that song we were singing, oh, you know, I want to perform so that you can love me. But no, that's not what it's about. That he's going to love us whether we, you know, it's not about performance. So I go back to the thing of, okay, wait a minute. It's actually your idea for me to walk in holiness. You're for me. You're committed to this process. Yeah. And then he surrounds us with the resources of the Word of God, examples, a church community that can strengthen each other. Yeah. I feel like that's where it makes a big difference. I remember Paul giving an illustration when we were in college and we had a fire and then he just pulled out one little piece of coal. It was a red hot coal on fire, but he removed it from the fire. And then just in the course of a few seconds, that thing lost its fire. It became cold and turned to ash. And he said, this is the value of community, of staying in a group of people that will speak life over you continually.
It's so good.
When we were in worship just a few minutes ago, I was holding my grandson. And as he was clapping, he was on beat. And so it made it easy for me to stay on beat. But have you stood there with somebody right beside you in your ear that is offbeat, how hard it is to keep up. You know, I was just thinking how that is so practical in our life because when we align ourselves with people who are doing the same thing and who are learning and growing and pursuing holiness, we can stay on beat just like that. But boy, when we surround ourselves with people who are doing things that are contrary to what holiness looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to get confused and off track there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is so good. Kim, go back and read that definition. I found that so interesting. Read that definition of grave clothes again, Doug.
Yeah, I know. I loved it, too. I read it several times when I was getting ready. Grave clothes are strips of cheap white linen cloth used to wrap the body with various spices to cover some of the strong odor of a decaying body in the grave.
That isn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting practical here, but Sarah, I'm thinking about your kids, you know, licking what they spilled
really
on
happens.
The floor. Yeah. She's got a couple of boys.
She didn't make that up.
We laugh all the time at Sarah and her child, her parenting, and I'm always thinking, just wait till they get to the teenage years. You're really going to have to come out. At any rate, here's what that definition, Kim, is that you're just reading. When Sarah walks in and you start yelling and cussing and throwing things and mad and screaming, you got a stench. Put off odor. And that old, you've been dead, and that carries over into this new life. Man, you stink to your whole family whenever you are acting like you used to act before you were saved.
And the best way that I can teach my kids how to take their grave clothes off is by showing them how I take mine off.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I tell my kids, like, hey, don't scream at your brother, but then I yell at my husband, it's kind of confusing of what that looks like. If I tell them, don't talk bad about your authority or your teacher, but I talk bad about my authority, you know, it's confusing, you know. And so if they can see me walk through tough situations like Christ has called us to, that is the best way to show them how to take their grave clothes off. Because I can read scriptures all day long about how to do it and what sounds good, but if they don't know what that looks like, you know, I think parents have to be careful about not being a hypocrite to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I say, don't do that, but then I do it. Don't shout and get angry, but I'm going to shout and get angry. You know, go forgive your friend that hurt your feelings, but I'm going to hold a grudge against my enemies. Very confusing in the church for
that's
church
so
families.
Good.
So,
well, listen, you were talking and mentioned just a minute ago about the church, but that really is what the church does. That's it.
Yeah,
go ahead
with
that.
Just some things I was thinking about as I was thinking about, well, okay, I've been 21 years in this church. I remember the idea of modesty only being instructed into me, because that wasn't something that made a big difference in my home growing up. It was because of the church. And I wore something that I thought was cute when I was 13, 14 years old. And I had a friend come up to me who was older and wiser and loved me and had a relationship with me and said, sweetheart, that's not where we're going. That's not who you are. This is cute, but that's not where you're going. And to have that kind of instruction in a loving way, I remember going out with some friends on a mission trip, Miss Hetty Blue Brooks, and there was, you know, in the Word of God, it says, no coarse jesting, no foolish talk. Like, this is not appropriate for the body of Christ. And we were joking about something, and someone made a comment, and it was funny, but it wasn't appropriate, and it wasn't where we're going. And she said, that may be permissible, but it's not beneficial.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And us having that place of the church is the ones that we encourage and we strengthen, and the grave clothes have to come off.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to love you and say, well, I guess you're just going to stink for a while. If I see something, I'm going to love you enough to help you get that off and walk with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I was in Europe last week at the Louvre, and one of the things that helped me to bring this to life so much was that we saw a painting there that was a grave cloth.
Wow.
And the woman holding the cloth was showing that on one side of the cloth was a complete imitation of what that person looked like in the past. And then on the other side of the cloth, it was completely pure and white and holy. And that was giving us the example that we do have to put away what we used to look like, that all of that has to change, and we have to have a new appearance in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we're going.
That's what we're doing.
Share that example. I've never taken any sewing classes.
So,
that deal you were telling me earlier.
Yes. So it's always stuck with me. Long time ago, I took a quilting class, and what our teacher instructed us was not to cut along the line that you think is straight, but to look at the point where you want to go and cut to that point, never taking your eyes off of that point, but to cut to it and to allow your hand to actually be trained to cut that straight line. And we are given all of the things that we are supposed to train ourselves to look at. When I was thinking of how, you know, all of this applied in a job situation, you know, I was thinking, well, you're not supposed to be lazy. You're not supposed to do this and that. And I started going through my concordance and looking those things up, all these negative connotations. And that's really not what was expanded on in the concordance of my Bible. And I was amazed that the ones that had lines and lines of scripture were things like peace and love and hope. Mm-hmm. And those were the things that we were given. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need, and it tells us how to escape corruption caused by evil desires. Add goodness, knowledge, mm-hmm. self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, and love. And if we increase these things in increasing measure, if we possess these things in increasing measures, they will keep you from being mm-hmm. unproductive and ineffective.
Oh, that's
and
good.
So, you know, if we do focus on that point and pursue where we want to be, then we can train our lives to stay in that direction.
I think it's easy to be sin conscious instead of Jesus conscious.
That's really true.
Because Ephesians 4:22 says, throw off your old sin nature and former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. So as he's renewing my thoughts and my attitudes, where you look is where you will go. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going through my days trying to not sin, I'm sin conscious, where it's in the back of my mind, I'm trying not to do it, I'm staring it in the face and I will eventually move towards it. Mm-hmm. But if I will keep my focus and my gaze on the one whom I want to be like, which obviously is Jesus, then the consequence of that is righteousness.
That's right.
So I don't have to try to stay away from sin. I don't even think about sin. I'm just thinking about Jesus. And when you look at Jesus, the consequence of that is you're not going to do those things because you're focused.
Sarah, when you
there.
Said that, you That's said so that good. Earlier, it that went all over me. I got some just in my personal life. I got some work to do. You really ministered to me with that because I think I'm sin conscious. I'm not sure that I'm Jesus conscious during my day. Because I'm out here on the job site, and all I can think about is, all right, don't cuss right now. This is not going to look good. Don't hit this guy right now. That's not going to go over. Pastor in prison for manslaughter. Okay, you can't hit this guy. Don't cuss right now. Don't throw anything. All right, walk to your truck easy. Drive out easy. Don't blow gravel all over. I mean, and so I'm thinking about what I don't do, and I do pretty good. You know, I do pretty good about all the things I shouldn't do. But was I kind?
Man, that's good.
Was I concerned? Was I loving? What, you know, I didn't do these things. But I think, Sarah, you really, that spoke to me. Mm-hmm. We're sin conscious, and I'm really trying not to sin. But instead, was I Christ-like? Well, probably not. Probably not, was it?
That's true. And having that realignment, because you can have that, okay, I'm going to look to Jesus, and then you go throughout the week, and you're with your kids, just your kids, all day long, you know, or you're in the environment of work and the different people, and it's easy when I turn on the news, and I happen to have the channel surfing, and NPR comes on, and or different things, it's really easy to become discouraged or to forget what is truth. And I'm hearing all these things about, well, this is gender identity, or this is privilege, or this is marriage, or this is the issue of abortion. And it can be really, well, I'm a mercy person, and I feel bad for this person, but I have to be realigned where I come back to that point of reference, where if I remove Sunday and Wednesday, then I have removed that realignment, that direction that I need for the rest of the week, and how valuable it is to come back. And just to add on to that, how appreciative I am, because I have time where I spend with the Lord and I read the scripture and I study, but there's someone who's actually, this is your job, is to spend time with the Lord and is to read the Bible and to figure out what it says and then to apply it to me where I'm at in my life, both practically and personally. Mm-hmm. And I loved watching last Sunday. I was sitting in the back and I could just look out and see you would say something, and it was so like powerful, but then it was so personal because these people look at each other like, oh, that's me, or that's me. And it's like, okay, I can apply this to my life personally. Mm-hmm. And without having that, there's just a lot of not direction that you're not following.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And, you know, while it's Tim's job as the church pastor to do all of the preparing of lessons, it's also preparing disciples. And that's what this year has been about. And there's a responsibility in that for the disciples that are being prepared. Proverbs 28:23 says, he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. Mm-hmm. You know, taking off these grave clothes is not always a pretty sight.
Well, Well, you know, you said that taking off these grave clothes is not a pretty sight. And it brought me back to our verse here in verse 44, chapter 11. Now think about this. We're all excited. He's alive. I mean, we're all excited. It's salvation. Well, new life has come. We're born again. Woo, you still stink.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that carryover of the grave. And, you know, I couldn't help but think that Jesus said, y'all, you loose him and let him go. Well, that's the ministry of the church. It's not always pretty.
Yeah.
And I think about in the church how many times somebody gets mad and they quit. Somebody gets offended and they leave. You don't come to church because you're mad at somebody else in the church. Look, this iron sharp, you and I were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. This iron sharpening iron, it ain't pretty.
No.
And it gets rough. But we won't stay committed to the church and stay connected to people. Somebody upsets us or hurts us or they start smelling bad, we're out of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this just isn't a pretty deal we're called to do.
Yeah.
No. It just didn't.
Yeah, we talked about how I was scrolling social media and there was an ad that popped up for an app where you don't have to go to church anymore. You can just do it at home. You can do it on your tablet and on your phone. You don't have to be inconvenienced by going somewhere and doing that. And I was looking on the apps, just their website, and it described it the single solution for church engagement. And they said, expect to see at least 3 times as many people using your app as attending church on Sunday. And I just thought, well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
We have 3 times more people just attend, you know, just doing it on your phone.
No,
and so, you know, we have a church app and you can listen to podcasts, but apps are supposed to be supplemental. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to take the place of being committed in a church and having that fellowship, because, you know, you encourage each other when you're here. And so I can see where you were and where you are now. And that encourages me. And, you know, Jesus said, go take the grave clothes off of him, not Lazarus, take your own grave clothes off.
Boy, that's
and
good.
So, but having the accountability of people to help you take those off. I want to help you, and you can help me do that together. And you don't get that just through an app on your bed at home.
You know, and that's so good, because I hear this. Oh, Tim, I stayed home today, but I went to church. I went to church on TV. I went to church with so and so. I want to say, well, did you find a 13-year-old girl and talk to her about
being modest?
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, just the lessons, you know, Melissa, you've shared with me about 14 different dads that you've had in this church that have fathered you. I mean, you don't get that on a church app.
Yeah. No. And you're not inspired either by someone else's life if you're sitting in these four walls and just, you know, oh, I'm going to church on my phone. Well, I've not seen what Robbie's life has gone through. I mean, you could, like you said, be offended, leave, and not come back. Mm-hmm. You would miss the, oh my gosh, amazing blessings in your life now. You know, I look, because he says here in Ephesians 5, it says, you know, you used to walk in darkness, but now you walk in the light of the Lord. And I understand that he's talking to the church in general, but I can see as Paul's writing this, that he's thinking about you individually. Yeah. Marty, you know, this is where you were, but I've seen where you've come from. Chris and Sarah, I know where you were, but this is where you're at. Yeah. And to encourage and run with each other and say, there's a vision that we're putting before us, and you can drop out and lose the fulfillment of that. We just get somewhere and drop out, or come sporadically, but just the development long term.
Exactly, because just that church app is not going to prepare you for Monday morning when contracts start falling apart and when you're being pulled in 5 different directions. That's not going to be enough. It's the having the relationships to build you up. You know, there's a responsibility that we have to learn how to implement in our day-to-day life. You know, as a worker, Proverbs 27:18 says, he who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. And who looks after his master will be honored. But, you know, there's also a responsibility of the master or the business owner. It says in Proverbs 27:23, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. And so without aligning yourself with people who are going to be helping you recognize the grave clothes,
that's right,
you know, that's not going to be possible.
Let me just stop right here just for a second. I mean, Sarah, that was a great word, that your app is supposed to be addition to church, not a replacement for church. And let me just take just a minute. and address all of those. We've got thousands of people that listen to our podcast this week.
Absolutely.
And let me just say a quick word to all of you out there today, driving your car or in your house or at your business, listening to this podcast. I just want you to know this is not a replacement for your local church.
Yeah.
And we're thrilled that you're listening to our podcast. We're thrilled to be an addition, but you need to be in church.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, we don't have one in our area, move to Hot Springs. We'd love to have you join this church.
Yeah,
but you got to be a member of the church. You don't just visit a podcast on Thursday morning going to work and call that church.
And it's a convenient thing, but then we were talking about when you think about the Apostle Paul or Jesus or the disciples, they were in prison and they were doing all these things that weren't convenient, but they weren't convenience-driven. They were spirit-driven. They wanted presence, not convenience. And so anything worth having is going to take work. And so for me to drag my 6-year-old, 3-year-old, and 1-year-old to church is like, that's more work than I've done all week long, is getting them to church on a Sunday morning alive and fed. And so it's not convenient at all. And it would be much easier for me to sit at home and listen to it. But I know the benefits that I will reap from coming
That's
and being part of the body of Christ. But I think it is important to know, with taking off grave clothes, that it doesn't stop there. So you take off the grave clothes, and now what? So I'm faithful to my spouse. I'm still a good parent. I'm faithful on the job site, but I'm still not entering into the fullness of God. It's because I took off the grave clothes, but did not then clothe myself in righteousness and to clothe myself with Christ. I don't get a whole lot of time in my day to do that, to just bask in the presence of Jesus with my kids around. And so the Lord sees me in my season, and he gives me ways to do this with my family. And we do it together. So every time I'm doing dishes or in the shower, a podcast is playing. You know, we do communion with our kids every night. Josh mentioned that on Wednesday, and that sounds like a whole lot of work, and it is a lot of work. But in doing that, we have showed our kids the body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. What this does is it makes you be able to strip off your grave clothes, and you can just walk in peace, and you can walk in love. And so a lot of nights, that time that we have together, it ends in a spanking or like a meltdown. And some people say, then why do you do it? And it's a lot of work, and it's not always like what we envisioned it was going to be going into it. But my kids can tell you, my 3-year-old can tell you what the body of Jesus represents and what the blood of Jesus represents, and that you can strip it off and you can be free from your sin.
Absolutely.
So that's why we do it.
Sarah, you were talking about different seasons, and I think that is so important for us to recognize. I don't know how I can follow that, but anyway, it's good for us to recognize in different seasons of our lives actually what grave clothes are, because we can so easily put that back on. But grave clothes are actually those strips that are strongholds in your life. And it's just like a memory foam. You know, it's easy to work back into that position. But when you do that, you are actually binding yourself up with those old strips of grave clothes and can't live in freedom.
Well, That's good.
I like that. Sometimes we feel like, okay, well, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to hear this word. It's going to make me feel really condemned. And then you don't want to go to church because you don't want to hear how bad you are. But I like how Paul says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, dearly loved, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up as an offering and a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma. And in that perspective, approaching churches, wait, I'm a dearly loved child. Yeah. Like, I am legitimately a child of God, loved by God, and anything he gives me is instruction that's for my good. Yeah. The spankings are for my good. Yeah. And to be able to approach it that way, both in my own personal relationship with the Lord, but then coming into the church and understanding that, wait a minute, I'm dearly loved, and this is how I'm going to approach the word of God in my life.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, that's great. It's who you are, and I feel like people can't strip at the grave clothes because they don't know how to identify themselves or who to identify with, whose they belong to. You know, when my kid hits somebody or screams or throws a fit, I bring him in and I don't say, like, you're a tyrant, you're disobedient, you are a bad kid. I'm not going to call those things out of them. Right. I'm going to say, that's not who you are.
That's right.
Because Ephesians 4:30 says, remember, he has identified you as his own. Mm-hmm. You are God. You're a child of God. You don't do that. You're not an angry person. And so to call that out of them, I think people don't need to be reminded how bad they are. When people screw up, they already know they're bad. Like, they don't need to be told that, but if you reinforce who they really are. Mm-hmm. And so if we can do that with our kids, that's not who you are. This is who you are. I think that that will help shape their behavior when they are older, because they'll identify more with what I have confessed over them more than what they identify with how they feel in that moment when they disobey. Or
well, it's the same thing in the workplace. You know, we as Christians have the opportunity to demonstrate what Christ looks like in a business transaction. Yeah. You know, as Christians, we need to take every opportunity to testify to the compassion, generosity, steadfastness, and authenticity of Jesus. Yeah. And when we do that, you know, we may make a wrong decision. You know, you may kick the tire. You know, you may not respond correctly every time. Sarah, just like when you're correcting your children, you go back and fix it when you make a bad decision or don't perform correctly on the job. You can go back and fix that, and that speaks volumes as to how to make things right.
Yeah, that we're not perfect, that we're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, we're just not. I tell you, it always amazes me how much meat comes out in these panel discussions. My goodness, there's been a lot of sermons preached here, and I'm taking notes. That's a whole sermon right there. Girls, thank y'all very much. As always, these panel discussions, our time goes by way too fast. And this morning in the office, whenever I had three women in there and we were getting ready, I knew to myself, this ain't going to be good. We got three women all trying to talk at once. We're going to run out of time before we get this thing off of the ground. But I just want you to know today, new life, salvation, you being born again, that's an instant event. Mm-hmm. Jesus comes into your heart and you're saved. You've got another chance in life, and there's nothing you can add to that. Salvation is instant. But getting the old man, getting those grave clothes off of us, is a daily process that we deal with every single day. And then don't get bummed out. Don't get bummed out when you don't act perfect that day. Yeah. Ask the Lord to forgive you and do better the next day. Getting the old man, getting the clothes that we wear off, number one, it's a process, and number two, it takes help from other people. Submit yourself to that process. Submit yourself to the process that God has called us to become His disciples. Y'all stand with me. Lord, today we submit ourselves to the process as we are becoming a follower of You, as we are becoming a disciple. Lord, thank You for saving us. Thank You for giving us a brand new start. Thank You for letting us be born again. Thank You for our new start in life. But Lord, today we roll up our sleeves and we continue the process of renewing our minds, of washing our minds, and getting these old grave clothes off and walking in Your image. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.